Thank you for tuning in today, and you're listening to the Provisions for the Redeemed broadcast. Hi, I'm Pastor Vanessa Walker of Provisions for the Redeemed Christian Center, which is also known as Vanessa Walker Ministries.
You have to go ahead and turn with 2 Samuel chapter 9, and I'm going to begin at verse 1. 2 Samuel chapter 9, we're going to start at verse 1. And David said, "Is there yet any that is left in the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, "Art thou Ziba?" And he said, "Thy servant is he." And David said, "Is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet." And the king said unto him, "Where is he?" Ziba said unto the king, "Behold, he is in the house of Machir." Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, from Lodabar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell at his feet and did reverence. And David said, "Mephibosheth." And he answered, "Behold thy servant." And David said unto him, "Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan's, thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul, thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually." Then go to verse 13. I'm sorry, go to verse 13. And Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table and was lame on both feet. Amen?
Amen.
So what I want to talk about this morning is David and Jonathan, a covenant among friends. David and Jonathan, a covenant among friends. First of all, I think we need to understand what a covenant is. David and Jonathan had a covenant. So what a covenant is, it's a contract, agreement between two or more people or parties or rather. And a covenant is how God has chosen to communicate with us. A covenant is how he's chosen to redeem us and to guarantee us eternal life. Okay? And he does this. He has this covenant with us. And a covenant is a promise. It's also a promise. And he did this. God promised to us, made a promise to us that if we accept him as our Lord and Savior, well, then in exchange for that, we get eternal life and we'll be established for life. We'll rest in his infinity pure character. Amen?
Amen.
So then we look at, we have some other biblical covenants. We see David and Jonathan had a covenant, but there are other biblical covenants as well. The Adamic covenant, where did he have the tree of life that was in the garden? There was a tree of life. The Noahic covenant, which was the rainbow, that he put the rainbow in the sky and he promised us that, you know, he wouldn't destroy the world by flood again. So that was a promise that he made with us. We have the Abrahamic covenant, where he let us know that he was bringing all people in that would be his people. And God would be their God and then we would be his people. The Mosaic covenant, which was the Ten Commandments, that if we kept the Ten Commandments in exchange, we would be blessed. Amen.
Amen.
And so we see all these different covenants that we have, and how important it is. A covenant is, again, like I said, it's a contract. It's an agreement. You exchanging something for one thing to another, but in essence, both parties get to win. Amen.
Amen.
So how important is a covenant? A covenant is how God first decided to deal with us. He made promises and he kept them. Mm-hmm. So a covenant, he established the covenant from the very beginning, even with Adam and Eve. Mm-hmm. And so that covenant is still in effect today. So he solidified his relationship with us. He solidified his relationship with Adam and Eve. Mm-hmm. And so we are obligated to solidify ourselves to him. Amen. And so he just asked us to be faithful, just like he's faithful. He said, "In exchange for my faithfulness, I want you to be faithful to me." Amen. And so you can't beat that. Because God is faithful. So he's just saying to us, the how we get there is going to be the key to our obedience. Yeah. Amen. And so our new covenant with God is the New Testament. That's what we have. We have the New Testament. We can go back and look at the old covenant that he made, but it's still in effect today. But he says, you take that covenant, that schoolmaster from the old, bring it on over into the new, put it together. Mm-hmm. He said, but those covenants is still activated. He didn't do away with them. Amen. Amen. So they're still going on. So our covenant with God, give us a seat at the king's table. Mm-hmm. Amen. So we got a seat at the king's table too. Amen. Okay. So let's go back and look at some stuff. So we see David and Jonathan. They had this covenant, and I'm sure most of y'all know all of us should know the story, is that David, God chose Saul to be king. Saul did not do what God told him to do. Then he chose David to be king. Now, even while Saul was still king, he sat and made David king in the process. But David had to learn how to be king. You know, he had to learn how to occupy that position. Amen. And so in the process of him learning how to occupy that position, he had to learn respect for that position. Amen. We know that eventually Saul understood that God was removing him from being king, and he found out David was going to fulfill that position. And so that spirit of jealousy got on him, and he wanted David dead.
Yeah.
But in the meanwhile, while before that, David and Jonathan, his son, Saul's son, formed this relationship.
Yes.
They young men out there talking, they became close brothers.
Yes.
And even closer than the brother, they established a covenant. Mm-hmm. And he and Jonathan had established, said, you know, if anything happened to me, you take care of my family. Anything happened to you, I'll take care of your family. Mm-hmm. He said, so we're going to make sure we be blessed. Mm-hmm. He said, now God, may God come between me and thee if we don't keep our word.
Amen.
So now that was a covenant.
Yes. Amen.
So he's saying we're standing before God. And we've made a decision that we're going to have this covenant now, because if anything happened to me, David, you got to take care of my family. And David, Jonathan, anything happened to me, you take care of my family. And so they were warriors. They were out there battling. They were out there fighting. So they knew at any time something could happen, but they were willing to take care of each other. Amen. And so we get to where David finally had to share with Jonathan, you know, your daddy really don't like me. You know,
right.
It would come down. He trying to kill me. And Jonathan, are you sure? Because my daddy tell me everything.
Mm-hmm.
He said, it's not anything that he doesn't do that he won't tell me. And he haven't told me that he's upset with you or he's angry with you. David said, I'm telling you, your dad trying to kill me.
Right.
And so Jonathan said, well, okay, I will go in and I'm going to find out if what you say is true. Okay, he said, I'm going to go in and find out if my dad really is trying to kill you.
Mm-hmm.
So when it came time to sit at the king's table,
Amen.
David didn't show up.
Mm-hmm.
First day, he didn't show up. The king didn't really say anything. Second day, he inquired, where is David?
Yeah.
And Jonathan said, well, he asked leave to me that he could go down and see his family, take care of some business.
Mm-hmm.
Well, his daddy got upset, and Jonathan said, well, okay, it may be a little something to what David is saying. By the third day, well, Saul was furious. David wasn't at the king's table. But it wasn't that he was so furious he wasn't at the king's table. It didn't give him a time. He didn't have no opportunity to try to kill him.
Yeah, right. Right.
So he wanted him at the king's table to be able to kill him. Amen. Now, God's table is not like that. God wants us at the king's table, but he ain't trying to kill us.
Amen.
Amen. He's not trying to destroy us. He wants to bless us. We come to God's, to the king's table. It's blessings right there. Amen.
Amen.
And so... And so anyway, so Jonathan goes out. He says, okay. He said, David, you go out into the field while you're out there. He said, I'm going to come. And if I shoot an arrow out to pass, you know, they came up with this, shoot an arrow out. And he was going to say something to let him know, and look, cold words to let him know, dad really is trying to kill you and you need to flee. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So they go through that process. And Jonathan, talking to his dad, like I said, his dad had got fears. He was so upset with David not showing up and Jonathan having given him leave without asking permission. They sitting up at the king table. The king throw a javelin at his own son. I want to know where David is. Now, I'm paraphrasing all this, of course.
Right.
He said, but I want to know where David is.
Right.
And Jonathan like, man, Dad really want David there. He yeah. he done chunked the y'all know I'm saying chunk, that's Southern. Right. But he's thrown a javelin at my head trying to kill me. He really want David dead. So in the process, from there, David do he flee. He's running for his life from Saul. He had several opportunities to kill Saul, but he never did. Because what he did understand, I must respect that position. God anointed Saul king. Even though God was moving him from that, he was still anointed king. And David said, while he's holding that position, he's still king. He's still anointed king, so I'm going to respect that. He's trying to kill me, but I'm going to respect the position. And so that's what he was doing. It wasn't necessary that he was respecting Saul, because when it come down to it, he had opportunity to kill Saul. He said, but I can't kill God's anointed. Amen?
Amen.
And that's what we have to understand. When you start messing with God's people, anointed people, you can get into trouble.
Yeah.
And folks be trying to figure out all the stuff they trying to do to you. It just, God just turn around on them and just go to whooping them up. And they trying to figure out, well, I'm trying to do this. You know, this manipulative spirit, the jealous spirit, on the job stuff. You know, people doing, just in the family, people doing, anywhere people are, folks, it's going to be some jealous folks, some manipulative spirits that you have to deal with. And so, but some people don't understand that anointing on your life as a Christian. Even Christians don't understand the anointing on their lives. That they can go before God and make their petition known. And as an anointed one of God, he's going to take care of you. He's going to bring things out in your favor. Why? Because we got a seat at the king's table. We're the king's kids.
Amen.
You can't just go around messing with king's kids.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
Even in the natural.
Yeah.
So you should know what they would do in the spiritual realm.
Yes. Amen.
Harry and what's the king's, the Prince Harry and Charles, Prince Charles, and then his kids.
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of the boy. No, I remember Harry because I think of the little red hair. But I can't think of, but anyway, William, Prince William. Nobody's, I mean, they got protection. Well, we have protection. Thank that natural in the spirit realm. They have protection. Well, we have protection. We have a host. I mean, they got some folks, but we have a host of, we have a host of angels that are taking care of us and protecting us. Why? We are king's kids. We have a covenant with our father and he's there to take care of us. Amen. So we got this seat at the king's table. All the provisions have been made.
Amen.
I mean, and what I love about when we read, and right at the end is this, it said, and Mephibosheth was lame in both feet. I wonder why they add that. Why did that? I mean, we knew Mephibosheth had a deformity, but it came from the fact that he was dropped when he was a child with his maidservant trying to escape with him. But I just kind of wonder why did they have to add that? Because everybody's not perfect that's sitting at the king's table.
Amen.
There ain't no
Amen.
Perfection at the king's table. It's a lot of folks at the table, lame in both feet, lame some kind of way, have a deformity in some manner. But we have a seat at the king's table because we belong to God. We are his kids. And I thought about, I was praying on my way here, and I thought about some name. As kids, children of God, and we have this seat at the king's table. Just imagine all the stuff. It's like going to a toy box pulling out stuff.
Amen.
If you put your mindset to a little king, you know.
Yes.
And what do kids do? When they get to the toy box, they will not just take one toy. That's impossible. Because in a kid's mind, all the toys in the toy box belongs to them.
That's right.
Now, what if God wants us to have that same mindset?
Yes.
Everything at the king's table belongs to me.
Amen.
I have access to it.
Amen.
And so that's how we have to learn to live.
Amen.
This morning, the scripture that I sent out on the phone, our daily scripture on the phone app, was that you have the grass of the fields. And he said, if God knows how to clothe the grass of the fields, he says, there today and tomorrow is gone. It's cut down. It's in the oven. He said, but how much more will he clothe you?
Amen.
And if you think about it, how much more will he clothe you?
Amen.
And so he's letting you know, I will take care of you in all aspects of your life. Amen. Amen. That's what God will do. And we are his kids. We have access to one of the greatest covenants that you could ever have. Amen. Now we look at David and Jonathan's covenant. This was a covenant among friends. Yes. Amen. But we are God's children. We're God's children. He's our father. So imagine, I mean, the covenant that we have with him going to go on from generations to generations to generations until he come again. Amen. Amen. Until he come again. And then he's given us another covenant that even after eternal life, we have another life.
Amen.
Amen. So he said, you got another covenant when you die.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah, somebody.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And so we see the what was going on between Jonathan and David. And David decides, and he made up his mind, I cannot touch God's anointed one. I can't touch his anointed one. He said, but he would flee for his life. And they had David on the run. He's sleeping in caves. He's sleeping in fields and try to get somebody to open up the door. Some people will let him come in and some make him just go on. And you can't stay here. We don't like David. We like Saul. We don't want to have anything to do with you. We know Saul is our king. Amen. And so he was running for years, just running and running. But he never, like I said, he never went over the line. He never went over the line. And he even repented when he came up and cut the skirt of Saul.
Yes.
He even repented. He said, I shouldn't even done that. Mm-hmm. I shouldn't even done that. He said, but he was letting Saul know that I can kill you anytime I want to. Mm-hmm. If I can, you got all these men around you mm-hmm. and I'm sneaking up on you mm-hmm. and I can kill you whenever I want to kill you.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
And so finally we see Saul and Jonathan, they go to battle and they get killed in battle. David finds out that Jonathan was killed in battle. He was highly upset because, like I said, they were real close friends and they had this covenant. Mm-hmm. Now, after the death of Saul, it was time for David to come in and to get that position.
Yeah.
He comes in, he gets that position, but understand, everybody didn't love David.
Yeah.
They didn't all love David, so then you had a division between Jerusalem and Judah. And so David would reign over one and but he never could reign over all of the people because they were some of them were so in love with Saul.
Yes.
But when he got into position, he too had to go into battle and he was fighting. But when everything settled down, we see here is when he gets here. He's got everything settled down. He's not fighting anymore. And finally he says, I got to remember this covenant that I had with Jonathan.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Mephibosheth, like I said, he got lame in both feet because when they were fighting, they thought David would come in there and kill all of Jonathan's, anybody had anything to do with Saul, anybody in his lineage. So they thought David was going to come in and just kill them all. So they fled. They left. Amen. They left. And so in the process, the nursemaid dropped Mephibosheth, broke his legs. And so he was just, he was a little bit of child. And so, he ended up, the way he was. But when he left, he still left with the servants and everything of Saul because they were still there with him.
Mm-hmm.
But it was not the best.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. It wasn't the best where they were. And so, yeah, they was in Lodabar. And so Lodabar means no pastor, no word, no communication.
Whoa.
They were nowhere. They escaped with nothing. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
They escaped with nothing. But I love what Mephibosheth means. One who destroys shame or shame no more. Amen.
Amen.
So I wonder when his mama named him, did she know?
I know.
I mean, you know, look at this. Mephibosheth.
Mm-hmm.
One who destroys shame or shame no more. Amen. So
amen.
In the latter part of his life, he was shamed no more.
Amen.
David called him out. David sat around there. He could have just gone on. He could have. But he understood the covenant that he had with Jonathan.
Amen.
So he begins to inquire, is there anybody left of Jonathan's folks? Because you got to remember, there was a war of people fleeing, going places. Those that didn't like David would go over to Jerusalem. Those that did like David, they would come to Judah. So here they were. Everybody was, in a sense, they just fled. If they had anything to do with Saul, they fled.
Yeah.
But David was letting them know, you were still God's people.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Mm-hmm.
And so you, even though Saul was dead, well, now he was going to be a ruler, king over them. But he wasn't about to kill all of God's people.
Right.
But they didn't know that.
Yeah.
Amen? Here they were now living below means when they really didn't have to.
My God.
So what does that say to us? We are king's kids.
Amen.
Living below means when we really don't have to.
Amen. Amen.
Sitting around, don't even have high expectations when you should have high expectations.
Amen.
You're a king's kid.
Mm-hmm.
You have access to healing. You have access to prosperity.
Thank you, Lord.
You have access to redemption.
Yes.
You have access to forgiveness.
Thank you, Lord.
You have access to protection.
Thank you.
You have access to deliverance.
Mm-hmm.
You have access to peace.
Thank you.
You have access to joy.
Yes.
You have access to goodness, to gentleness. I mean, we have access.
Amen.
To God. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And all that he have to offer. We're king's kids. No matter where we go in the world, we will always be king's kids.
Amen.
I can leave the state of Alabama. I'm in Georgia, Mississippi, California. I'm still a king's kid.
Amen.
I can go to Africa. I am still a king's kid.
Amen.
And then I'm related to all the other king's kids.
Amen.
I don't really know you, but I'm your cousin.
Yeah.
We can through Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So we have a lot of brothers and sisters and cousins, aunties, uncles, or whatever. But we are all king's kids, so I guess it would be brothers and sisters. We have a lot of brothers and sisters.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then we all have access to the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it amazes me that people don't think that. I was reading something the other day where they were saying the prosperity message has just gotten out of hand. It's just out of hand. It's been out of hand for years. And I mean, as I read it, I understood what they were saying. Is that you have some people teaching the prosperity message just so they can gain prosperity. And so they walk away prosperous, but the people don't. Because of how they've done it. But the world do the same way. I mean, you're going to condemn God's people, but what about the world having these real estate seminars and telling people you can buy a house with a dollar. Folks go to all that and buy thousands of dollars worth of materials.
Mm-hmm.
Where they realize where they make their money is off of the materials.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I was looking at something the other day. It was talking about Donald Trump school university or something.
Yeah.
And so when I was reading it, this one guy, he said they came in and did Donald Trump University in Nashville. So he was a reporter at a local newspaper there, and he decided, you know, let's go, he and another guy, well, let's go check it out. He's, of course, they registered. Big registration fee was $1,200 just to even attend the thing. He's, but then when you got in there, you was paying anywhere from $2,600, $5,000, $6,000 for materials. Then he said they never did really get to talk to Donald Trump. They were supposed to talk to his son. It was supposed to be a face-to-face where he had a phone call. He made the phone call that his wife was getting ready to have a baby, but he couldn't be there, but he was going to teach. He said, so basically the only thing he told them was that he said he remembered the last word that his dad told him. The last word that the young guy, Donald Trump Jr., told him was that, my dad told us, never trust anybody all the way. And so that was like, okay, never really, don't trust us all the way teaching you. That's what I thought in reading the article. Well, we shouldn't trust you all the way if we're attending these meetings. And so, and that's what the writer, you know, was talking, the newspaper writer was saying too, was like, okay, you can see how they made all their money. And then they had other speakers that come in where their materials was $2,000, $1,500, $3,000 or $4,000 for books and stuff like that. He said, so of course they made their money and they gone on. So who are they getting rich off? You. But when the world look at it, oh, it's okay for them to come in and sell that type of material. But when you come in and teach people how to do it God's way and they're prospering, you taking up offerings and tithes and offering, all this tithes and offerings coming through the church, something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Something wrong with this picture. And you know the Satan does not want people to understand the process of being a king's kid.
Yes. Amen.
The process of your tithes and offering and what that means.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't want you to pray for people. He don't want you to use the in Jesus' name. You can give them that prayer, but you can't pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.
He don't want you to use the name of Jesus because he knows. He know what the name of Jesus do when you stand up there praying in the name of Jesus for the nation.
Hallelujah.
He know what it'll do. He know what your tithes and offerings will do.
Amen.
You gonna, the church going to prosper and you going to prosper.
Amen.
He want to keep you poor.
Amen.
He want to keep you sick. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. But it's that covenant that we have with God. Mm-hmm. Amen. So when I look at when David said, is there anyone of Jonathan's house that we can bless? He said, find me somebody. I mean, and I like God's perfect timing, because here was a servant of Saul's that knew Mephibosheth and that was still working with him. Mm-hmm. And he says, there is one, Mephibosheth. And of course, Mephibosheth had kids. He said, but there is one. There's Mephibosheth. Mm-hmm. So he tells him, okay, well, go and get him and bring him before me. Mm-hmm. And of course, they were afraid that, okay, he's getting ready to kill Mephibosheth. Mm-hmm. But that's not what it was. Even Mephibosheth was afraid. Mm-hmm. Because when he came before David, the first thing he started doing was talking about himself. Mm-hmm. He said, he gets before David, he said, why do you want, he said, in verse 6, he said, now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was coming to David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth, and he said, behold, thy servant. And he goes down, and David said unto him, fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan, thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul, thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. And he bowed himself and said, what is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? He didn't even know who he was. He was running, didn't have no idea who he was. He was still a king's kid. He was still a king's kid. He come from the lineage of being a king's kid. But more than that, he was a child of God.
Amen.
So he was still a king's kid. Amen. So he come and David tell him, he said, don't be afraid. He said, fear not. He said, because what I'm getting ready to do for you, I'm getting ready to change your life. Amen?
Amen.
Now, he couldn't heal his physical body, but what he could do was make sure that he had the best from now on. From that point on, he would have the best. Now, imagine this kingdom. How many people would love to be at the king's table? They just waiting. How you gonna find Mephibosheth? Way somewhere he come. They don't really have none. And you know, it deformed, he's sitting up at the king's table. I mean, you can imagine people, you know, folks, we know people conversations that they have. He at the king's, I've been trying to get at the king's table for years. And he just go find him. Yeah, I've been trying to get there and he just go find him and all of a sudden he's at the king's table. But Mephibosheth had been taught for so long what type of tyrant David was when he really wasn't. He didn't get the true story. So he says, I don't understand. Why would you want to bless such a dead dog as I am? And the thing is, when you go back and look at the scripture, a dog was low. A dog was real low. A dog is considered unclean. And so being unclean, he was saying, why do you want anybody unclean before you? And not only just an unclean, but a dead, unclean. He said, so I'm really a dirty dog. A dead, dirty dog, or whatever. So he was saying, why do you want me there? But just think about our lives. You know, when I read this, I thought about all the lives of the people. You got folks that think, there's no way, I can't come before God. I have done too much. I done too much. I've done some things that I know God not pleased with. So how can I come to the table? But God said, if you're born again, you have a seat at the table. It doesn't matter what you've done. I don't care how many people you killed, you raped, or whatever. God said, when you become born again, he says, you still have a seat at the king's table. Child molesters, in the natural, you be thinking, you know you don't want these people at the table. I mean, just think of all the stuff they done done. Child molesters, they done killed people, they done raped people, drug addictions, they done steal from you. Walk in your house, you have to watch them walking in your house. I had to use the bathroom. You watch them going and watch them coming back. The alcoholic, watch your purse.
Yeah.
they want some money for something to eat, but really they want some money for something to drink.
Yeah.
I remember this guy, he was at McDonald's, he was sitting out there. He said, I'm just trying to get a little money, get something to eat. I said, well, I tell you what, I'm going here and buy some. I don't need you to buy me nothing. I need you to just give me the money. I said, well, you said you want some money for something to eat. You're sitting in front of a McDonald's. Yeah, but I want to buy my own. You can just give me the money. I buy what I want. I said, well, do you want the food or you want the money? I want the money. I said, I'm not getting no money, but I'll buy you something to eat. Well, that's all right then. You go on. So little wino sitting out there, you know what he want the money for. Mm-hmm. You know, so if you really want something to eat, mm-hmm. then I'll go in there and buy you want what you want. If you yeah. want the Big Mac, I'll go in there and get it and bring it back out. But he want the money. He's waiting me on and mm-hmm. wait for the next person. Mm-hmm. But he wanted the alcohol, okay? Mm-hmm. But even in that, God is saying, if you born again, you still have a seat at the king's table.
Amen.
You still, see, and it took me a while to understand that you can have an alcoholic who is born again. Mm-hmm. Because the Bible said he got to do what? You got to believe. That's what's going to get you in the kingdom.
Yeah.
Now, God wants you to practice and live the life you're supposed to live as a kingdom's kid.
Yeah.
But if you're an alcoholic and you're not still not living the life as a kingdom's kid, you still have a seat at the table because of the covenant.
Yes. Amen.
That seat don't go away.
Yes. Amen.
It don't go away. Mm-hmm. But we tend to think that, why would God still want them at the table? Well, you have to ask, why would he still want you at the
Amen.
Table? Because you might not be an alcoholic, but you're doing something you're yes. not supposed to be
Amen.
Doing. And some people still have the concept, well, I don't smoke and I don't drink.
Mm.
But you lie. And you cuss, and you steal. I don't smoke, I don't drink. That's supposed to be, I'm a Christian, because I don't smoke and I don't drink. A lot of people don't smoke and drink. There's some of them not even Christian, but they choose not to smoke and drink, so come on.
Yeah.
Because if that was the requirement,
Amen.
That's just not the requirement to be born again.
Yes.
But he does, don't misunderstand me, he does require us to live a godly life, okay? He requires that. But being born again, once we are born again, then he said he's not going to take that away from us. We belong to him. We've cut covenant with him. And then he's cut covenant with us. He wants us to be faithful, which is part of the covenant, because he says, I am faithful to you, so I need you to be faithful to me. Be obedient to me.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen?
And if we were doing our jobs as men and women of God, ministering to people, like we are supposed to do, then you'll have a whole lot of people learning, a whole lot more people learning how to live their kingdom life.
Amen.
So we have to learn how to do. We haven't truly perfected it.
Yes.
But we need to teach what we know.
Yes.
And share what we know.
Yes.
So Mephibosheth comes to the table and David says, I'm going to restore. Now look at this. I'm going to restore all that Saul had. Amen. He restores everything. He says, I'm going to restore all that Saul had. That's what I said. He said, I'm going to restore the house of Saul. He says, and even though all the people thought David hated him, David said, I didn't hate him. I was just trying to live.
Mm-hmm.
He said, but I'm going to restore everything to Saul. I'll restore his servants. I'm going to restore his fields. He says, and I'm going to restore your seat at the king's table. Because if things hadn't changed, Mephibosheth would have been at the king's table if Saul was still king. Because his dad was at the table, then Mephibosheth would have been at the table. So he says, I'm restoring all of this. He said, tell the servants to go out and work those fields. Amen? Tell them to go out and work the fields. He restored the fields. He restored the fruits, all that. He says, you go out and you bring, you know, bring in the fruit to your master's son. So not only did he have a seat at the king's table, he said whatever else is gathered outside of the king's table, Mephibosheth have access to that. That belongs to him. And you guys go out there and work the fields, work the land, and bring the blessing in to Mephibosheth. He said, I'm restoring every single thing. Amen?
Amen.
In the covenant that we have with God, he restored to us everything that we lost in the garden. We were prosperous people in that garden. We had everything that we needed in the garden. So when he came through and he restored, Jesus died on that cross, he restored everything. We have full access to him and full access to the things of God. You know Satan didn't like that. Mm-hmm. He hated it. Mm-hmm. Scripture said if he had known, he never would have crucified the Lord of glory. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Amen.
So each and every day, what do? We give God glory each and every day. Mm-hmm. Each and every day we magnify him. We glorify him. We praise him for all that he's done. We have to keep in mind there's nothing too hard for God. Yeah. And we have to learn how to pray for everything. Pray for everything. Even though we have the finances to buy some stuff, still pray about it.
Yes.
You can have the finances. You can just say within yourself, oh, I can just go down and buy that. Mm-hmm. But what's wrong with praying with it? God might praying for it. I mean, yes. He might want to give it to you. And you keep your money.
Amen.
You never know.
Amen.
But you going out there slanging your little money out down, slapping it on the counter. But having gone before God in prayer. And that's what God reminded me. I had been praying. I was like, oh, Lord, I need to get some clothes, you know. And that the scripture that I sent out this morning, I said, you clothe the grass, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, find that scripture, right? If it's anything that you need, find the scripture for it.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
I found the scripture for my transportation,
mm-hmm.
for my car,
mm-hmm.
for my boat.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Amen?
Found the scripture.
Amen.
So that's what we find the scripture in the Bible for it. And then we operate within that. We believe that. We're faithful to be obedient to that. And so we have a covenant too. So Mephibosheth, shame no more. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You imagine they were saying every time they said, just like with Abraham, father, every time somebody said Abraham, they were saying father of many nations. Abraham, father of many nations. That was even before he was father of many nations. But they were declaring him, didn't even know they were declaring him father of many nations. That's why God changed his name from Abram to Abraham. He said, I'm going to have people declaring over you father of many nations, father of many nations, Abraham. Even his enemies was declaring father of many nations. So him, Mephibosheth, God had them declaring over him, shame no more. Mephibosheth, shame no more. Mephibosheth, one who destroys shame. Mephibosheth, one who destroys shame. They could have just went around and said, one who destroys shame. Shame no more. Come here. One who destroys shame. So people was making that declaration over him until what? It came to pass.
Amen. Amen.
And when it came to pass, it came to pass. So God said in this covenant thing, you learn how to make declarations over yourself to what? Till they come to pass.
Amen.
How do we change things in our lives? Make declarations.
Yes.
We make those declarations of change, and change is going to come.
Amen.
When he says, by his stripes, we are healed. So what do I say? By his stripes, I am healed.
Yes.
And I keep saying, well, by his stripes, I am healed.
Yes.
By his stripes, I am healed.
Yes.
By his stripe, I'm healed.
Yes.
By his stripe, I'm healed.
Yes.
And you say it till you know that you know it. And like I said, you declare it to what? Till it is so.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
You declare it until it is so. And some people teach us, you just need to say it one time. For those who have that faith to say it one time, then you need to say it one time. Why? Because that's where your faith level is. But until your faith level get to the point that you only have... get to that point, then you need to make that declaration as often as you need to make it.
Yes, yes.
And God's not going to come to you and say, you knew you should have just said that one time. How many times do you have? He's not going to do that. Why? Because he understands everybody is on different faith levels.
Yes.
So when we declare things, we decree and declare things, we're waiting for them to come to pass.
Yes.
Either they'll come to pass immediately or at God's set time.
Yes.
But they will come to pass.
Amen.
So what I want us to remember this morning, even though David and Jonathan had this covenant, this was just, like I said, this was just a covenant among friends. We have an even better covenant.
Amen.
Amen. We have an even better covenant. Because David and Jonathan's covenant, that was a good covenant. That was a good covenant.
Amen.
But we have a better covenant with God. We got eternal life.
Thank you.
And before we go to heaven, he said, you can live like king's kids right here on the earth.
Amen.
Amen. And he tell us, he said, see how you notice how the world do stuff and they prosper. He said, why can't you look at how the world do things? You're supposed to be prosperous too.
Amen.
In other words, they're not the ones that's supposed to be prosperous. You're the ones that's supposed to be prosperous.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And he's already told us in the scripture, the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous.
Yes.
Now we just don't sit around and wait for the wealth coming from the wicked. In the process, we still he still have opportunity to get wealth to us.
Yes.
He's got all he I mean, it's just lined up. Mm-hmm. Your tithes, your offering, mm-hmm. being obedient, mm-hmm. making sacrifices. Mm-hmm. So either way we go, even I mean even beyond that, either way we go, we be blessed.
Yes.
And Satan can't stand that. Mm-hmm. He just can't handle it. It bothers him. So we have a better covenant with God. Amen?
Amen.
And so we appreciate being able to learn from David's and Jonathan's covenant. But we have to learn the covenant. We need to learn about our own covenant that's been cut between us and God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. We are his people. Amen. Keep in mind, you anything come up, you say to yourself, wait a minute, I'm a king's kid.
Mm-hmm.
You walk into a building, I'm a king's kid. Walking to the grocery store, wait a minute, I'm a king's kid.
Mm-hmm.
Walking to the mall, I'm a king's kid.
Amen.
Amen. So favor is supposed to follow you.
Mm-hmm.
He's giving you his grace, his mercy. Mm-hmm. So grace belongs to us. His favor belongs to us.
Yeah.
So everywhere we go, we can make a declaration. Lord, everywhere I go, everywhere the soles of my feet touch,
yes. Yes.
Favor follow me.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
I have favor with all men.
Amen.
We can declare that, and it's still true.
Amen.
Folks, we'll be clearing the stuff. Y'all be saying stuff, them just lies. Well, God tell us what? To declare it.
Yes.
Speak it.
Yes.
To make it so.
Yes.
So we take God's word and do what? We speak it to make it so.
Yes.
That's how we have a better covenant. We have his word, and then we can say what he said.
Yes. Amen.
We can say what he said.
Amen.
And we can have it. He said, but you better learn your covenant. So we all declared this morning, we are king's kids.
Amen.
And we have the favor of God.
Amen.
And that everywhere we go, we declared this morning, every place, the soles of our feet tread upon, we have favor.
Mm-hmm.
We have favor in Alabama. We have favor in every state, every country,
yes.
Every city. We have favor.
Amen.
Everywhere we go in the name of Jesus.
Thank you,
amen. Father, we pray and we thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
For your divine favor.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord,
thank
we are thankful for the covenant that you've cut with us.
Thank you, Lord.
We thank you, Father God, that in this covenant you promised us that you would be faithful. And in exchange, we are to be faithful.
Amen.
Father God, we thank you for this covenant.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, that you are king. And in exchange, we become king's kids.
Thank you, Lord.
So we thank you for that, Father God in heaven. We thank you, Father God in heaven, that we had an opportunity to glean from the covenant that was cut between David and Jonathan to help us, to strengthen us in our walk with you.
Yes.
Father God in heaven, we thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ dying on the cross and the shedding of his blood.
Thank
we thank you that through that covenant, Father God in heaven, we have eternal life. So, Father God in heaven, we give you the honor, we give you the glory, and we give you the praise. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Thank you so much for listening in today. Again, I'm Pastor Vanessa Walker, and I would like to invite you to visit with us at Provisions for the Redeemed Christian Center, which is also known as Vanessa Walker Ministries. We are located in Huntsville, Alabama, and can be contacted at provisionsfortheredeemed@gmail.com. Until next time, may God bless you and hope to see you soon.